Alright, so third time's the charm, and I have no idea if this will work. And then there's a car outside that is apparently deciding to start, so we may not be able to do this, but I don't know what the fuck's happening out there. This is the third attempt of the No Regrets podcast with myself, James, Dragon Riley, and oh, okay, and I've got a thumbs up on the screen. Let's see who does it again. Let's see, no, just that one time. It's very weird. And then we have Joseph Sergiu, owner and instructor of Active Jiu-Jitsu Cyprus. If you're in the Cyprus area, West Little York and Barker Cyprus, come on out. Children, adults, not pets, but you know, we're working on that.
We were full of so much energy prior to this is our third take.
This is our third take, so this may not be the best one. But
and also, there's
a car outside that I'm sure if we go back and listen to this, we're going to say we can't use this. Because that car apparently will not stop. And it's a truck that is either a sanitation truck somehow pumping it, or someone who just felt like driving to this specific spot and playing around. I really don't have an answer for what the fuck is happening, but let's at least get 5 to 10 minutes of something and then figure it out. So, good God, that is... What is happening out there?
Playing some music, man.
I don't know what he's doing, but it's not good.
It's like techno. Kind of interesting now.
Yeah, well, anyway, so this is the No Regrets podcast.
Man, we got some regrets right now.
We may have some, you know, and that would kind of make this the Some Regrets podcast, but... We'll see what we can do.
Leave it.
Okay. Well, they're gone for now. Who knows when they'll come back, or if they'll come back with friends. And maybe there'll be an entire party outside that we could somehow invite in.
Yep.
You know, and who the fuck knows. Anyway, so I don't really have anything to talk about because this is our third attempt, and I've lost any train of thought. But let's just start with this. Joe and I are friends for 10 plus, let's say 12 years. Joe and I have both been training jiu-jitsu for, I believe Joe's at 18 years now. And I'm at 16, or I'm not, something around there. I'm brown belt. Joe is a black belt, both under Luis Eduardo Dentino of Active Jiu-Jitsu here in Houston, Texas at I-10 and Willcrest. So let's just start with this. If you're thinking about trying jiu-jitsu, do it, regardless of where you live, regardless of what city you're in, try it. Here. Especially if you're here. But if you happen to be watching this from some other city, find the closest one that isn't a crazy bar. Just do yourself a favor and try to...
Shots fired. Damn.
I'm not sorry. Stay away from Gracie Bar if you can, or try to stay away from what we call McDojos, which is basically any place that tries to overcharge you and doesn't really know what they're doing.
Elite MMA.
That is shots fired. I'll leave that alone. But yeah, so it's always good to learn. It's an incredible martial art. It's time consuming, it's hard, and it takes a long time. But I promise you, if you stick with it, it'll be worth it. So we'll start this way. Joe has owned Active Jiu-Jitsu Cyprus for 3 years now. And has, 2 years. He's been teaching for three. And is now actually got to the point where he has promoted some of his white belts to blue belts, and they have actually started to compete and have some success. So one of the things that Joe and I discussed in our last one, which unfortunately is lost to God knows where, is that he was never planning on becoming a competition gym and actually actively tried to avoid it. But one of the things is, as success happens, more and more people want to replicate it. And I think that one of the things that Joe can be the most proud of is that he had to learn how to teach in a way that wasn't enforcing anyone to, okay, you better start competing or you're out of here, and also allow for people to want to compete on their own. So I'll allow him to talk a little bit about how that has happened, and we'll figure if this is worth listening to. It's entirely possible it won't be.
Yeah, so... You know, I think the main things that we were talking about previously was about some of the things that I kind of went through when opening up the gym. And one of of the hard things that I did was creating a curriculum. You know, in the beginning, you know, it was supposed to be like a curriculum I kind of already made, you know, and all this other stuff. But, you know, things happened and it didn't work out or whatever. So I had to create my own. So creating my own was fine by me because, you know, for me, I had like an idea in my head what I wanted to go ahead and do. I can sometimes be a little bit extreme. So I made this like curriculum that wound up taking 9 months to go ahead and get through. And it was ridiculous. And I just constantly had like students always asking me, hey, what about that technique that you showed? This is this and all, blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, like 6 months ago or something like that. And so I had to go ahead and like make a whole new curriculum and really condense it to what I felt like I'd want my students to go ahead and know. And so that was probably like the hardest thing. And then, you know, the other thing was, you know, I feel like I was telling James that, you know, every belt level you get, there's this kind of feeling that maybe you're not quite ready for it, you know. This imposter syndrome, you know, is the term for it now. And so I can relate to that. You know, when opening up a gym, you know, you're always kind of wondering, you know, it's like, I know what I'm teaching is legit, but is it going to translate to my students, you know, is the main thing. And so after my first student, Sun Tran, he went ahead and competed for the first time. He wins gold. And so I think at that time it showed the other students that it was legit. And hey, if he can go and do it, I can do that shit too, basically. Yeah. You know? It's like that whole thing where they talk about like the 5 minute mile. And it was like everybody thought it was impossible to go ahead and do.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden one guy goes out and he winds up breaking the five minute mile.
Yeah.
And then after he does it, like 4 weeks later, some other guy winds up breaking it
at him.
You know, yeah. It's like, you know,
yeah, it's very funny because I think that's a really interesting way to describe it. Is the first time somebody does thing, it's oh my god, this is amazing. Like I didn't think this is even possible, and then suddenly somebody else does it, and then somebody else does it, and then it becomes the standard, right? Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, the 5 minute mile is oh that's normal. Everybody can do a 5 minute mile. But the first person that does a 4.5 minute mile, everybody's oh my god, I didn't even think that was possible. So I think that's one of the nice things, is especially as you know other students of Joe's start to see Son, and I think Brady as well, if I'm looking over this poster here, has actually competed and had success and you know really enjoyed it to the point where they want to keep doing it. They've asked Joe, hey, can I keep competing, are you willing to coach me? Now the other students who may have thought to themselves, well, I don't necessarily want to do this for competition, but I think it'd be fun to test myself, they'll start pushing themselves. Mm-hmm. They'll push it better. And, you know, I think one of the things that Joe said that's really interesting is imposter syndrome is real, right? The second you do well at blue belt, the second you get your purple belt, you're going to go, well, I was good at blue belt, but am I really a purple belt? Mm-hmm. I did really well at purple belt. Do I really deserve this brown belt? I myself have been a brown belt for 2 years now. And despite the fact that I was a purple belt for 5-6 years and all the time I kept saying, thinking to myself, I should be a brown belt, I've got this, this is nothing. The second that belt's around your waist, you start to feel that added pressure. Well, okay, now it's real. It's not just a, I should be, it's I am. And you have to feel, even if no one else feels that way, you feel like you need to earn that. You need to make sure that you're proving that you're right. You're that person. And Joe, especially taking on teaching after being a black belt for 3 years now. You've been a black belt for four years. There we go. See, I was close. And that's the important part. In math, you don't actually have to be exact. You just can guess. And that's how I was always really good at math. As my sister would definitely tell you, math was my strong suit.
Oh, Einstein would say different.
If Einstein was alive and knew me, he would definitely disagree.
He'd be like, whoa, bro.
But we would be really good friends because I'm a very fun person to be around. That's why Joe's here. Because I'm his only friend.
We're not friends.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, I think taking on a new challenge of, you know, not everybody who's a black belt is going to want to teach, and not everyone who is good at being a jiu-jitsu black belt is going to be a good teacher, And as Joe has said, he had to learn and change his curriculum from, hey, here's all this stuff that I know, to here's this stuff that you, someone who's walking in off the street, doesn't know anything about jiu-jitsu, will need to learn. And it took him about 9 months to really get that through his head. And it's easy to give up, right? He could have said, well, you know what? I'm just going to teach how I'm going to teach, and they're going to figure it out or they're not. And there are a lot of gyms that people don't adjust. They assume people will either figure it out or they won't. And Joe decided that he would rather do it differently. He wanted to push himself and, you know, work through it. And in jiu-jitsu, one of the things we always say is you don't necessarily lose, right? You win or you learn. So you could easily sit here and say, Joe, that's Ricky. Ricky Bobby is, if you're not first, you're last. Mm-hmm. That's a very different philosophy.
Very different.
That's Joe's life philosophy, yep. Which explains why Joe is an insane person. But that's Joe's. It's Joe is so competitive that he was on Duolingo to the point where he was just waking up early to try and beat the other Duolingoers, and he actually had to stop because once he had reached the pinnacle, he realized there was no more to go, and he just lost interest.
Well, I didn't learn Spanish. So what happened there.
He also didn't do the actual lingo aspect of the Duolingo. Yeah.
I was like sitting here like, I still don't know fucking Spanish.
I still don't know Spanish.
I'm number one every single damn week.
The important part is I did the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the important part. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, imposter syndrome is a tough one, man. I think that it's hard to, even if you're the most outwardly confident person, every time you step on a jiu-jitsu mat, you always feel on some level that you have to perform. Even the guy who shows up twice a month because he's a hobbyist, he wants to prove that he's better than the guy who shows up once a month because he's a hobbyist, right? It's just, it is what it is. And I think that, as I mentioned earlier and Joe disagreed with, but I'll say it again, is as you grow older in jiu-jitsu and you have to learn to adapt in different ways. Joe doesn't believe this, but...
No, I do.
Because
I don't believe it for myself, but I believe everybody else.
He believes it for you, average consumer and average jiu-jitsuist, not for Joe Superhuman Sergio.
The truth is, I just don't know how to, like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to be like that, you know, basically. For me, in my mind, it's like I can't see myself just having fun with jiu-jitsu. You know, it's
but
like,
you are, but so, okay, so let's, so here's the scenario. So
it's fun.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
But would it be, if you had the option to go, and let's say you had the option to go train at Atos. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best jiu-jitsu gyms, some of the best competitors in the world. But your options were you would only compete against the competitors. Mm-hmm. You would only roll against their top level guys, mm-hmm. and it was a month, and you're getting destroyed left and right. Mm-hmm. Is that still going to be fun, even though you're not winning?
Yeah, because I know how I am, and it would probably push me to go ahead and give up everything. I mean, go further.
Right.
Because, like, I have this, like, weird little thing in my head where mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I tell myself, like, you know, I may not be the best, but you're going to know me before it's all over with. You know, like, I'm going to be known in this room. You're going to be like, you're going to at least respect me. You know, something about that, like, respect that, like, really drives me a lot. Mm-hmm. And so... You know, yeah, I'm not saying I go to Atos and be like, I'm whooping everybody's ass eventually or something like that. But eventually they're going to be like, man, Joe's a fucking tough role. You know what I'm saying?
I think
And I've had to learn to be okay with that. I'll say that. That's kind of my, like, way of being okay with aging, mm-hmm. you know? Like I'm 42 now. I said it. And it's like, you know, I've had to learn to, like, kind of calm it down a little bit mm-hmm. and not always try to be, like, the top or want to be the top dog, you know, and just be like, you know what, I'm okay with people knowing that, you know, I'm not going to be somebody you're just going to just walk through, you know.
Right. Okay.
And I'm okay with that now, you know, to an extent.
You know? To an extent.
I'll say to an extent just because it's like, you know, man, if someone were to tap me, like, that would drive me fucking crazy, and I'd probably, like, watch that video over and over and over again. Like, today, Josh Uchimata'd me, and it didn't catch on the video, but I wish it did.
But yeah, so you could just review it over and over again.
I reviewed the one time, like, so then Tino, God, what'd he do to me? I forget. Like, he did something, and I took that little part, that section,
mm-hmm.
put it in slow motion
and just watch it over
and just watch it over and over and over and over again to see what the fuck happened. You know what I'm saying?
Some might call that an obsessive compulsive disorder, but yeah, well, you know, not Joe. That's just competitive.
Just yeah, that's just my competitiveness. You know, so that part, you know, like I don't know, but that part is fun to me for some reason. Like dissecting things and then like trying to improve consistently. You know, like that's how I get enjoyment in life, which sounds maddening and crazy, you know?
Okay.
I don't know what I'm gonna do if I make it to 90. Like what is there to improve? I mean, can I even improve? You're 90 years old.
I'm sure you'll find something.
Yeah. You know, I'm hoping that I'm like a good strong 90-year-old.
Okay. So then what is a typical when you're sitting around, you're having Sunday lunch at your mom's house. Mm-hmm. What does that look like in terms of relaxing? Are you relaxed? Are you chilling, relaxing, not worried? Or are you thinking to yourself, okay, I've got to eat faster than everybody else. I need to...
Oh, no. No, I mean, I eat my food. And I do enjoy it, the taste, because it's obviously better than anything I normally eat. During the week, you know, it's like, you know, normally I just eat just to be satisfied and just for energy.
Jose, eat for nourishment, not eat for pleasure, unless it's Twin Peaks and it's...
Well, that's a whole other
story. That's
a whole you know, those visual
stimulation. Those are visual stimulation.
Anyway, sorry, edit that out. No. But,
that'll be the headline.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks, visual stimulation.
Shout out to Kim. I'm joking. I don't know any of the ladies at Twin Peaks by first name.
That would be a man by the name of Min Win. I'm sure he knows all of them.
Yeah, he knows all of them, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, so I do spend time working. Like I'll be like eating and then I'll be like working somehow on the gym some kind of way. So I do that a lot. I've always done that though. Like
even
so
We went to Canada and it was for your work, but it was not like a work trip, but you worked on that trip. Like even though you were in a different country and technically a different time zone, you still made time to reach out to clients. Joe used to run his own Allstate insurance agency.
Yeah. So for me, it's very hard to not give everything to something, and I'm trying to learn that. I'm even going to therapy for it.
There you go. Yeah. Joe is recently shout out to mental health.
Yeah.
And Joe has recently decided to cut back on some of his drinking activities for, I think it was to reach 100 students.
I don't drink. There's a difference. There's no cutting back. It's not like I said I'll only drink one drink a day or one drink on a weekend or something. I just don't drink, you know. And I mean, it's just I don't know. For me, how I kind of felt was like anything kind of holding me back from meeting a goal. Sometimes I have to get in these like modes, you know. And so you know, for me, if I wake up and I can't give whatever percentage I can give for that day, you know, then I need to go ahead and drop something, you know. And so that's something that's kind of dropped because I was like, you know, I can't achieve what I want to go ahead and achieve if I'm drinking, you know. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, will I say I for 100% quit drinking forever? I don't know. But I'm not gonna lie, I don't really miss it that much. Not gonna lie, I thought that I would miss it a little bit more because I'm an avid whiskey drinker. At least I was, you know.
Once, yes.
Yeah. So you know, I'm not really missing anything.
Yeah.
You know, but I am missing friends. You know who you are. Yeah, you.
If you'd like to be Joe's friend, please contact the podcast and we'll set you guys up on a friend exhibition. And
all those people who are not inviting me to places just because I don't drink anymore, you know who you are, all right? It's fucked up, man. I just want to say, I see you on Instagram having fun, all right?
just for the record, I don't have fun on Instagram. Oh. But, so this is the, again, guys, this is the third attempt. Apologize, there were some better stuff. Hope you've enjoyed at least the beginning of it.
Nah, fuck that. This is great.
This is right. Incredible. Be
no
friends.
Regrets. We don't
please,
put anything please out.
Please be friends. Please be friends with Joe Sergiu. He's dying. He needs friends.
I don't need your friendship.
He does need my friendship. That's unfortunate. That's his biggest problem. That's the alarm that says that we need to cut this off because last time we tried, it didn't go anywhere. So we're going to cut this off. Hopefully we can edit out that fun little middle part. And if I do, you won't even know what we're talking about. So.
Yeah, all right. Let's see.
We'll see. Shout out David Tran at Temple Construction right there at I-10 and Willcrest. If you want to get in shape, you're in the Spring Branch area, or even if you want to travel the Spring Branch area, come see him. You want to try jiu-jitsu in that area, come to Active Jiu-Jitsu. If you want to learn jiu-jitsu and you're willing to travel to Katy or you live out in the Katy Cypress area, contact Joseph Sergiu. You may also get to be his friend, which is it's a tough road. It's not great.
Don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's got it. You get a lot of memes. That's the upside. If you like memes, this is your man.
Yep.
All right, guys. Peace.